Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only those who receive us via Radio 4, Radio 7, the World Service, the Internet, or wherever they're tuned in, and also to welcome to the programme four exciting, experienced, intrepid and delightful players of the game. And once again, they've come together to show their skill and expertise, their wit and rapport, and have fun as we play this amazing game, and they try and speak without hesitation, repetition or deviation for just a minute or even less. And those four people are sitting on my right, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, Tony Hawkes and Charles Collingwood. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to run the stopwatch for me and blow the whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Everyman Theatre, which is in that delightful spa town of Cheltenham. And we have a lovely Cheltenham audience here ready to cheer us on our way as we begin the show with Clement Freud. And the subject, Clement, is how to recognise a spy. Almost a topical reference there. But Clement, take the subject. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
You look for dandruff. I think that's all.
Wait a minute, Tony, you've challenged.
Well, I think he hesitated because he stopped, frankly, hadn't he? He completed his entire knowledge on the subject. And that's
and
enough.
That's his complete knowledge of spies. So, Tony, it was a hesitation. We've never had a hesitation so rapidly before. 57 seconds are still available. You tell us something about how to recognise a spy starting now.
If they greet you by saying, "The geese fly south in the winter from the Cheltenham's crazels of..."
Cheltenham's crazels of... Hesitation.
Well, to be fair, Russia is probably their first language.
Yes, we interpret that as hesitation too, Charles. So, as I should have said before, whoever gains the subject gains a point for doing so, and you have 50 seconds, Charles, on how to recognise a spy starting now.
There are some very famous spy cartoon prints which are recognised because they normally are of football.
Tony.
Yes?
Well, I think he went into another language.
I think hesitation. Yes. Tony, 42 seconds are still available. You tell us something how to recognise a spy, starting now.
If you've recognised a spy once before by meeting them at a party, the next occasion on which you meet them should be much easier. Unless, of course, they're wearing a brilliant disguise, such as a big moustache, glasses, one of those plastic nosy things attached to it, or any number of other methods for this. I would recognise a spy myself by them looking at me with binoculars through an opposing house, looking into... Hello.
Repetition of looking.
Yes, he was too looking, so that's repetition. You have a point for a correct challenge, Paul, and you take over. How to recognise a spy. 14 seconds available, starting now.
I should imagine it's quite difficult to recognise a spy because by dint of their profession, they shouldn't be able to be easily recognised. I suppose if there was a man...
Clement Challenge.
He's supposed before.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's often, I suppose. Two supposes. So we're going to hear from everybody on this round as Clement's got a point for a correct challenge, takes over the subject. 5 seconds to go, starting now.
Look into their Spanish bags and see what sort of shampoo they have. It gives...
In just a minute, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Clement Freud. He's now equal with Tony Hawkes in the lead, and they're 1 point ahead of Charles Collingwood and Paul Merton. And, Tony, it's your turn to begin. So will you take the next round? The subject is freebies. Tell us something about freebies in this game, starting now.
It's one of the huge ironies of life that the greater your success, the more freebies you seem to be given. People in rock bands make millions of pounds, and then companies come along and say, "We'll give your sneakers free if you wear them on stage. Don't pay for that guitar. Here's one." And then the rest of us, the poor little people left at the bottom, do we get any freebies when we go in the supermarket? Yes, a tiny little bit of horrible orange juice they give us as we're walking past, but we don't...
Charles, Charles.
There were several gives there.
Yes, yes, there were several gives, so there were repetition. So, Charles, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that. You take over the subject, which is freebies. There are 32 seconds available starting now.
As an impoverished actor, I spend my life trolling round trying to find places that will give me freebies. Because life is hard enough when you have to pay for things. So if some charity will just give me something for...
Tony Charles.
Repetition of give.
Yeah. You said it before.
Oh, I said it before.
Yeah. We're all give, we are. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you were surprised you said it, didn't you?
We're all give, Tony and I.
Yes, you're giving. You're sitting together and you're both of a giving nature. There are 20 seconds still available for you, Tony, on freebies starting now.
Oh, for a gift that you might receive from somebody for which you didn't have to pay. This is obviously a freebie. You get terrible things at functions.
I'm
sorry. Yeah. Finger slipped.
Fingers.
Gone.
Well, I'm sorry, if we have a Freudian slip in the middle of the show. I mean, what we have to do is someone's interrupted, they get a point for that. So, Tony, you have another point, you have freebies, and you have 11 seconds starting now.
I sat down at a function once, and the freebie was a sundial emblazoned with the company's name across it, as if I've got a use for that.
Paul Challenge.
Well, I don't know. First of all, he's moaning he doesn't get any freebies. And then when somebody presents him with a beautiful sundial, he says he doesn't want it. I mean, this is just deviation. What's the matter with him? I don't get any freebies. I wish I got freebies.
So you're saying it's deviation because he says he didn't get any freebies.
Yes, exactly.
And now he said he has got a freebie.
Exactly.
All right, deviation. Paul, we're going to hear... Oh, and you've got him with 1 second to go. Yeah. That hasn't won you many friends in the audience. 1 second on freebies, Paul, starting now.
It's a plastic disc you throw.
So, at the end of that round, Paul Merton was speaking as a whistle. Wen gained that extra point for doing so. He's one behind Tony Hawkes, and they're just ahead of Clement Foyd and Charles Collingwood. Charles, it's your turn to begin. The subject is whistleblowing. Can you tell us something about whistleblowing in this game starting now?
On the whole, I'm not remotely interested in whistleblowing, except when I play Just a Minute, when my eye moves along to Janet, who I know that at the end of 60 seconds will be blowing her whistle. And the longer I can continue to talk without my three fellow panellists, of whom I am so fond, I can possibly win a round after all. Because I'm...
I don't know what that was, Charlie. It wasn't just hesitation. No. It was a sort of complete lottle stop of anything.
Could you
in air and water and everything.
Could you pass me my tablets, Nicholas?
I think you need them. But you had them actually spellbound for a moment.
Oh.
It was such a dramatic performance.
Oh.
And I should explain to our listeners, he does put huge drama into his performance. He acts out everything. He was looking at Janet and feeling every emotion as he did so. But anyway, it was a hesitation, Paul, and you have the subject and you have 34 seconds. Whistleblowing starting now.
What would the FA Cup final be like without the referee blowing his whistle in the middle of it all? A bit of a shambles, I should imagine. If you take your mind back to this year's event, I think it was Manchester United playing somebody else. I really can't remember at this stage exactly who it was, but I'm sure it will come back to me in time. Now, the official...
Clement Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
I think it will.
Came back to me.
Right. So what we do there is we all enjoyed Clement's interruption, but it wasn't a legitimate challenge, so he gets a bonus point for that. I think we should give you a bonus point for your Millwall. And also a point for being interrupted. 18 seconds on whistleblowing starting now.
When I was a child, trying to blow a whistle, in other words, being able to make a whistling sound with your mouth, was something I really wanted to do, but I was never any good at it. There was one kid in my school who was particularly superb, and he could create the most wonderful noise just by pursing his lips together.
So Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle Wen gained that extra point for doing so, and he's taken a strong lead ahead of the other three. And also, Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is other people's children. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, I'm looking at an audience that consists of other people's children. Oh, hang on, I'll tell a lie. Grow four, you're mine, aren't you? There was a time when I wanted to have children, but now, perhaps, as I get older, I think that maybe it's passed me by. Other people's children are a delight, but they do go home. And that's a wonderful thing, that at the end of the day, when they've smeared jam all over the television set and they've made a general mess, you can say goodbye, and off they go to their respective houses. I think other people's children, they were people I went to school with, actually, they are tremendously good fun, providing you can limit...
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of good.
Ah. Yes.
Are you sure, Nicholas?
Yes, absolutely sure. Are you do this to me all... there's always one occasion you say to me, are you sure, Nicholas? Yes.
Then your eyes glaze over and you haven't got a clue.
You said about being a very good idea to send them home.
Yes.
And then you said, oh, good there.
Oh, he's hot. He's on fire.
So I am listening all the time, concentrating like stink. 28 seconds. Tony, for you, on other people's children, starting now.
The world is full of other people's children, and in many ways this is why it is in the state it's in, because people view it like this instead of saying we are one family who can live together in peace like we do in this theatre tonight. The love in this place is unbelievable. I'm moved, in fact, by the...
Paul Challenge.
Well, there's no love up on stage. I don't know what you're saying. Is this your idea of love? Interrupting each other, challenging people? That's not love, that's competition.
I always challenge in a loving way.
So what is your challenge within the rules of just a minute?
I don't think the whole theatre is full of love.
Well, no, but he was giving one of those sort of religious things that he's known for, and he suddenly thought...
No, Nicholas, you're mixing him up with the Archbishop of Canterbury. I
think he thought it was Sunday night service, actually, he was doing, and he was suddenly taking over, and his clerical collar came out, and he was... And the fact that he was with the parsons as well, I suppose, made him feel that it was a religious event. But, no, I think he's entitled to express those thoughts on this subject. And so, Paul, they enjoyed what you said, so you get a bonus point. You were interrupted, Tony, you get another point. You have other people's children still, and 5 seconds, starting now.
Other people's children, they come round your house, they're sick on the floor, they turn the television up, no one disciplines them.
So, Tony Hawkes was speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. He's moved forward. He's just in one behind our leader, Paul Merton, and he's 3 or 4 ahead of Clement Freud and Charles Collingwood. And, Clement, your turn to begin. A nice topical subject for Cheltenham, the Gold Cup. Tell us something about the Gold Cup, starting now.
There are Gold Cups in horse racing in Ayr, Chester, York.
Yes.
I think is a hesitation. Unless he was saying air, of course, in Scotland, where there is racing.
Yes, and he was doing one of his listings, but unfortunately on this occasion, he didn't crack the full list out before he erred. So your challenge is correct, and you have 54 seconds. You tell us something about the Gold Cup, Charles, starting now.
The middle of March is one of the most exciting times of the year for me, when the Gold Cup builds up. I look at the list of horses feeling this is my chance to make a fortune. And on this occasion, last year of the Gold Cup, I didn't, because the damn thing fell. But I hold no bitterness towards horse racing in this lovely town of yours, except it's cost me millions. And I don't see why every year you should...
Tony, you should challenge.
Why was he betting in lira?
It's a bonus point coming this
morning. We know what this man does for a living. He works for the BBC. How is he betting millions?
I think he was using it sort of colloquially, that phrase.
Oh, okay.
We often say about millions when we often mean a few pounds. He was in full...
You're not in banking, are you?
People...
Can I buy your house?
I occasionally do on this show give the benefit of the doubt, and I think, speaking colloquially, we do use that phrase in millions when we don't mean only a modest amount.
I think you're right to give the benefit of the doubt, Nicholas. And may I say what a fine job you're doing, generally.
You're searching for another bonus point.
I may need it later.
So the benefit of the doubt goes to Charles Collingwood on this occasion, and he was stopped in full flood. It's that utterly dramatic performance. It was almost over the top. But the Gold Cup is back with you, Charles, and 27 seconds available starting now.
Actually, every year my wife and I go and stay with some friends who have a large plasma television screen and a line through to the local bookmaker. We have champagne and canapes and...
Tony Challenge.
The BBC are paying him way too much. Plasma screens and lines of his friends.
Tony, he did establish it was his friend's house.
Yeah. Mm.
He's got some rich friends, obviously.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
Right. But, Tony, the audience enjoyed your interruption. Yeah. So give Tony his bonus, which he's been searching for ages. So you've got the bonus point. Charles has got another point for being interrupted. 16 seconds, the Gold Cup, Charles, starting now.
We abide with these people because my wife and I can't afford it.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of why?
Your wife came into it earlier on.
She did.
She
comes into a lot of things in my life.
Yeah. That's handy.
Well, I'm very pleased to hear it, Charles. Paul, a correct challenge. 12 seconds. The Gold Cup starting now.
I won a prize at school when I was 12 years old, and it was a beautiful, solid gold cup.
Clement Challenge.
Liar.
Shall I go and get it?
We don't know whether you did or not, but you've said it, and I'm sure in just a minute you can say what you like, but they did enjoy what Clement said, so give Clement the bonus point. Paul was interrupted. He might have been exaggerating. He might have been, in his childish imagination, it might have been real gold. And who are we to put it out of his mind? Dissuade him from his lovely thoughts. 7 seconds, Paul. The Gold Cup starting now.
The headmaster presented it to me and he said, remember, in years to come, when you're sitting next to Clement Freud, tell him he's wrong!
I think in a child's fantasy world it was gold. But, Paul, you were speaking as a whistle when gained the next...
Why is it so unbelievable that I might have won a prize at school?
No, I didn't. I'm sure you won many prizes. But I could not believe that any school would give gold cups.
No, I made it up.
I know.
Solid ones at that.
Solid gold, that's what he told me.
Solid gold, that's what he told you, yes.
Right.
And you as an innocent 7-year-old, believed him.
I did, yes.
That's right. It's a lovely world of fantasy in which you took us, but Clement still got his point, and you got a point for speaking as the whistle went. You've taken the lead ahead of Tony Hawks, Charles Collingwood, and Clement Freud in that order. And Tony Hawks, your turn to begin. The subject is feedback. Tell us something about feedback in this game, starting now.
Take yourself back to the 60s. You're in the hottest group around. You're recording your new single, Day Tripper. George Harrison, your guitarist, gets...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of your...
Yes, friendly. your. Too many yours there.
No, I did a lot
there
in
are
a
the
row,
rules, but... audience. That's the way we play the game. He was listening very carefully. Clement, you're in with 51 seconds to go. The subject is feedback, starting now.
When you go to Cheltenham, the feedback you get is about the Gold Cup, quite especially Best Mate, who won it this year for the second time, but also Arkell and the great...
Charles. As a hesitation, yes. 40 seconds, Charles. Tell us something about feedback, starting now.
Feedback is a Radio 4 programme that is on every week, where people can write in and criticise the shows they've been listening to. Let us all pray they don't do that for this programme tonight.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of programme.
Programme, yes. Yes, right. And 29 seconds with you, Clement, on feedback, starting now.
Golden Miller, I seem to remember, was probably the most famous dual winner of the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Tony Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
It's absolutely nothing to do with feedback.
He tried to establish previously that he had the feedback about the Gold Cup, but he didn't re-establish it, so that is deviation. So
it would have been repetition if I had established it.
Give him another bonus point. We like that one. 21 seconds for you, Tony, with a point. Feedback starting now.
And from the amp, the noise came back. This whizzing, whirring feedback. And George Martin being a...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of George. George Harrison.
You've heard George Harrison before. 14 seconds, Paul, with you on feedback starting now.
Jimi Hendrix became known in the 1960s as perhaps the arch exponent of feedback guitar, and it was something that was perhaps discovered.
Clement Challenge.
Two perhapses.
Yes, two perhaps. Perhaps, perhaps. So, Clement, you're
keep
in.
Doing that.
I know. I suppose you do keep doing it, perhaps.
It's a new thing I've started doing, isn't it?
Yes, right, yeah. Mm. So, 6 seconds available, Clement. Feedback starting now.
The feedback I got from the football was.
Paul Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
He's not talking about the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
And you were waiting for it. Give Paul a bonus point. We enjoy the interruption. But Clement gets a point because he was interrupted. 3 seconds for you, Clement. Still feedback starting now.
6-0 is the feedback I got from Portugal.
So Clement Freud speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. He's had many other points in that round, and he's leapt forward. He's just 3 behind Paul Merton. He's 1 ahead of Tony Hawks and 4 ahead of Charles Collingwood. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. And the subject now, strip poker. Tell us something about strip poker in this game, starting now.
I was invited to play strip poker at Cheltenham Ladies College. And I said, please, could you just remind me of the rules? Is a flush better than a pair? And there was a very long pause before anyone could tell me that actually a strip straight.
Oh, Tony, what was that?
A repetition of straight.
Yes.
Yes, you did repeat straight. It was a pity because they were really enjoying that. I think it was really set their imaginations flying, Clement. But Tony, you got a correct challenge. You have strip poker, and you have 39 seconds starting now.
Strip poker is a much better game to play when your guests are Jennifer Aniston, J-Lo, Christine Aguilera, rather than Nicholas Parsons or the Archbishop of Canterbury. Although quite why those two would be round having dinner at your house is another matter. But I like to play strip poker. It adds a certain amount of excitement to the evening. Poker played in an ordinary manner, just for cash, not enough going on there. Let's see if you're really prepared to get stuck in and get your kit off. That's
Paul Towers.
Repetition of get.
Get stuck in. Too many gets. Get stuck in. Get your kit off. Paul, you've got in with 11 seconds. Tell us something about strip poker, starting now.
I think perhaps the appeal of strip poker is the idea that you can just take your clothes off at a random thing, and it doesn't matter who you're sitting next to at all, because it can.
This is the reason why sometimes people say this programme should be on television. Because as Paul was speaking then, that huge reaction from the audience was that he started to strip and they enjoyed seeing his hairy chest.
Yeah, I wanted on repetition of nipples.
Fortunately, he only had 11 seconds, so otherwise, if he'd had the whole minute, we might have got right down to something quite embarrassing. So, Paul, you were speaking as the whistle went, and you got that extra point for doing so. You've increased your lead as we go into the final round. And, Tony, your turn to begin. The subject is texting. Can you tell me about texting in just a minute, starting now?
This is something which goes on an extraordinary amount now, particularly outside schools. Kids with these mobile phones texting each other. That wouldn't have happened 25 years ago, largely because those kind of things weren't kicking around, so they couldn't have...
Tony Challenge.
Did I?
Yes.
No, he didn't. I think you're fine. I think you're fine.
I have a number of little lights in front of me, and whose ever buzzer is
one
pressed
of them's
first.
A life support machine.
Tony's light came on, yeah. So, Tony, I've got to take your challenge. What was
it? Well, I was going to challenge myself for deviation, but I've realised I wasn't deviating at all.
So you haven't got a good challenge?
Well, hang on. I think I lose out either way here.
So I can't give you a point for a correct challenge? I can't even give you a point for being... I can't give you a point for being interrupted.
Can you give me a point for psychically pressing my buzzer?
No, I think what I shall have to do
can
is...
Can you give me a point for buzzing? For buzzing, because he repeated kind. I mean, it was just playing the game.
Charles, contain yourself.
I'm terribly emotional.
Really, don't get so passionate. This isn't the Archers.
Nicholas?
Yes?
I've got a challenge now.
What?
Repetition of kind.
Right. And that's what Charles spotted. He's pressed his buzzer, yep. But your light came on. You hadn't got a legitimate challenge, so I'm going to be very generous and say, Charles, you have 46 seconds, texting starting now.
You press your little machine on A or B or C.
And, Chairman Charles. Clement, or
yes.
42 seconds, texting with you starting now.
I would be very good at texting if I had a mobile telephone. In the absence of this, I do semaphore, which is really quite fun.
All challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, it was hesitation. Give him a bonus point, because they did enjoy that huge laugh he had. But, Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have texting, and there are 32 seconds starting now.
Rather like Sir Clement next to me, I too don't have a mobile phone. I haven't owned one now for several years. In fact, I don't think I've ever purchased one of those instruments. No, I have, actually.
Tony, you challenge first. Hesitation.
Yes, I think
yes.
There was a hesitation.
21 seconds. Texting starting now.
Imagine a world where we didn't have mobile phones...
Paul challenge.
I don't have to imagine it. That's the world I live in. I don't have a mobile phone.
No.
But he has said mobile phones before.
Texting as a subject. 17 seconds starting now.
I remember when I studied my history A level.
Tony, yes.
We'll interpret that as hesitation. Yes.
Yeah. Tony, you had a correct challenge. 13 seconds texting starting now.
There's been a magnificent innovation lately, predictive texting, where using your digits, you tap in what you think might be a word. The computer inside the instrument recognises what it thinks you are going to say.
Charles, a challenge.
There were 2 watts.
There were 2 watts, oh. Yes.
That's
yes.
The power in the phone.
Yeah. Won't work otherwise.
And Charles, you are listening well because you've got in with half a second to go on texting starting now.
Whenever I can hear.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for in this delightful game. It's incredibly close. They've all got so many points. Tony Hawkes, who's won on many occasions before, only just came in fourth place, but he was only 1 point behind Clement Freud, who was only 1 point behind Charles Collingwood, but 3 or 4 points out ahead of them was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are the winner this week. And so it only remains for me to say thank you to these 4 delightful, humorous and clever players of the game. Paul Merton, Tony Hawkes, Charles Collingwood and Clement Freud. I also thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score, and she's blown her whistle with great aplomb when the 60 seconds were up. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, and we are very grateful to our lovely audience here in the Everyman Theatre in Cheltenham, in this lovely spa town, who've had a wonderful time. They've come here from them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Tune in next time to just a minute.
And next week at the same time, Just a Minute will be coming from London, where the panellists will be Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Julian Clary and Linda Smith.